Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And I want to talk to you today about a little bit of musings on my heart and then let the living waters flow. Will you join me in prayer? Dearest Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for another blessed opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to be just that simple earthen vessel that's filled with the excellency of the knowledge of God. So the power may be of you and not of me. And I just thank you so much, Lord. And I ask that you would be with my mouth, nothing short, nothing less than when you were with the mouth of Moses. And I pray that you move in my heart, that I would move by your Holy Spirit, and that you go before me and make my pathway plain, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God. For I offer this up to you as a gift of love to you, O God of love, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I was really in prayer about what I wanted to talk about today. And I just kept hitting a wall. And I felt myself going around in circles and I started to fret a little and I laid it all down. I just said, I don't want to talk about anything I'm not moved by. Because I always say this about prayer. If I'm not moved, if my heart is not moved, then how is it going to move the heart of God? I would rather sit silent before him. And so Jesus is always there to guide me. He's just always there. And he's quiet in his presence. I felt like there was this storm, like I was grabbing. And I think we do that a lot. We grab at things. We're trying to grab a word. We're trying to grab a devotion. We're trying to grab a sensation or a sense from him. But we can't grab. It's not about grabbing God. It's about being still. And in this noisy world, nothing is still. You know, there's this verse that says, there's a cry that said, "Oh, earth, be quiet, for the Lord is about to arise." There's even 30 minutes in heaven of silence. And I just laid it all down. And I felt like I started to think back about what was the most meaningful things to me in my life. And not just having a message, but what moved me. And it was always something that was injustice, or if I saw pain, someone in pain. But those dull prayers and those dull messages, I can't stand it. I feel like it's Isaiah chapter 1 that God says, away with your new moons and your feasts and your incense. He says, I cannot away with it. I can't bear your assemblies. You know why? Because I look at this landscape of our nation, and when I don't say nation, I'm talking about the believers in general and Christians. It's like there's this machine that's operating, and there's churches, and there's all these things that are happening. But I'm talking about each one of you individually, not when you're with groups of people, but when you are alone. And I believe that all of us should have time alone with God. And I always highly stress that. And I always talk about it because I am a woman of prayer. I'm a woman of faith. I am a simple woman. I have a little life and God has kept it that way. But I want to feel my prayers. I want my heart to move. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that the hearts of the men were moved as the wind went through the trees. I want to be moved by God like that. I want that for you. Because I believe that when the Spirit moves in us, He's likened into a wind. And I love the book of Ezekiel. I'm studying the book of Ezekiel right now. And I love that book for many reasons. But what I love so much, and it's prolific in that book about the Spirit. And I just love how he talks about how he was on his knees, and it was chapter 3, he was on his knees, and the Lord spoke to him and said, stand upright. And he stood up, and he said, as I stood up, the Spirit of God entered into me, and then he spoke, and I heard his voice. See, there's other verses that say, and he took me by my hair in the Spirit and carried me away to a mountain to show me that mountain, or he took me in the heat of my spirit. I love Ezekiel for that. I love it when John is sitting in Patmos and he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He said he heard a voice like a trumpet speaking behind him. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And I come across these dull days, these dull times. But you know what? There's a discipline in that where you go, I say this to myself. I don't care if I'm feeling dull. I'm still showing up. But in that dullness, it becomes a grief because there's no wind moving. You know, I'm not going to say that every time I pray, I have to feel something. But if it goes on too many days, I think of that, the book of Acts, chapter 27. When Paul was on the prisoner ship, and he says, we were there many days. He says, it was dark because of the storm for 2 weeks. He said, we hoped and wished for the day because there was no wind in those sails, and it was dark for those 2 weeks. And I believe sometimes in that dullness, do you ever just feel or let your mind remember that when you were at your highest performance in the Spirit is when there was trouble. I'm not asking that God send us trouble our way so we could feel our prayers. But I'm going to shift over to something because I want to talk about Israel. You know, I was thinking this morning about October 7th, and we were all in disbelief, and for days we couldn't believe it. And I was watching at what you were watching, and I couldn't sleep. I lost my appetite. I was awake thinking, my heart was pounding and throbbing in my chest. And we look at that beloved Israel, surrounded by their enemies, even our own government abstained at the UN. Yes, I know right now we're offering help to them, and we should. But there's coming immediate, pretty much soon. I think we're there where we're not going to always be there for Israel. But God's always going to be there for Israel, just like God's always there for you and for me. And even in those dull days and what's been building up into today, I have felt a dullness and I hated it. But you know what? I want to feel what I'm supposed to feel. I was talking to a good friend of mine, and we were talking about, do you sense something? And I'm talking about a veteranized person. Do you sense something? Do you sense? Obviously, we know what's happening, but we could feel it in our spirit because there's a lot of spiritual activity and war in heaven. War is going on. Spiritual battles going on. The Prince of Persia that still sensed Daniel and Michael, the Prince of Israel. He's referred to as Israel's Prince. You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, Michael the Archangel came to me. You know, they talk a lot about Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel is Prince over Israel. He doesn't travel around and meet people. That is his call, and he's the defender of Israel. We read about that in Revelation chapter 12. Michael the Archangel and his angels fought against the devil and his angels and overcame them. And so you see, the devil has a vested interest in Israel because he knows that will be the city of the great king. That tiny little piece of land is not going to stay that little. It's going to expand one day. Those are not the topographical or geographical, not topographical, the geographical portion of it. It enlarges into the royal land grant of the 12 sons of Jacob. So I was thinking about Ezekiel 9, verse 4, and it says, "And the Lord said unto him, an angel." There were six angels that were sent to Jerusalem. And at this point, it was full of abominations. It was full of idolatry. I mean, and there was, everybody was just given over to it. It was absolutely turned heathenistic. And it even says in the beginning of chapter 9, or no, it was in Hosea I was reading, and it said, "For the curse is upon us." And so I want to pull something out of here that really spoke to me. It says, "And the Lord said unto him," there's one of six he's God speaking to. He said, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." And I thought about those men. It didn't say how many there were, but you get a feeling it's very few. You know, that mark, most scholars say that it is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tav. They say, some scholars say it's the sign of the cross. Others say it's an X. It's more of an X. I go with that it's more of an X. And that they were marked with that. That they would not be destroyed, but that the slaughtering weapons in the hand of those other, all the angels, all six of them, that they were to go throughout that city and to slaughter everybody. But the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. See, that really moved me today because I thought about that mark. It says it was on their foreheads. And you know, another scholar I was reading today said that Tav is the name of God. And I feel like we're living in this time right now where it's like, are we people that sigh and that cry? Everything has been given to us in our nation. I think that's why there's so much dullness. There's never any a fulfilling of the common believer. They're always trying to strike up the band with revival meetings, tent meetings, healing meetings. Somebody told me once that he spoke to somebody who invited him to go to a revival meeting. And he's talked to him a day or so later. And the guy said to him, "Well, the Holy Spirit, we almost had him there. We almost had him there." It's like they're trying to pump something in their own power, which is weakness. I believe that there is a mark. We are marked by the blood of the Lamb. He who hath believed the word of God has set to his seal that God is true. There's a seal upon us. But you know what? We want to be people that move with the Holy Spirit. And we're about to watch Israel and Iran go to war. Now we know God has this all under control. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think about that mark that you're marked with? Because you're marked by the blood of the Lamb. I love that story, not story, that future moment in Revelation where the 144,000 will be marked on their foreheads with the name of our God. Is that the Tav? I don't know. I think about Mark, a mark that was set upon Cain. There was a mark upon him, lest any man finding him should kill him. He was a marked, cursed man. There was a mark of being cursed. And I think about Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. There's a mark that we see on people. We mark people. We mark a faithful person. We mark honest people. There is a mark. And even in Romans 16:17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, and avoid them. And also people that we follow in Philippians 3:17, it says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. See, there's a mark that we have, and the enemy sees it. And we are the people of God in this last time. And we are people that pray. And we want to move past the prayers of the going over. Like, I don't know, one day I was praying to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that monkey grinder organ where I'm just pumping some sound out to you. I want to move higher. I want to go up the mountain with you. I was reading about a man who was a climber who climbed Mount Everest. And he talked about how he kept trying to climb and trying to climb. But he never looked at any of those times that he failed as failure. He said he was glad that he failed because it made him stronger to keep climbing that mountain. And that Mount Everest has such a high altitude. You have to get lung capacity for that. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, give me lung capacity for prayer. Because we're watching prophecy come to a point of time where, I don't know about you, and I'll just speak for myself, I don't want to be just this person that's living in the United States, that's just doing the same thing every day, that's heartless. I'm talking about your heart right now. I want everything that's dull to leave me. I want to be exercised like that mountain climber. I want to climb or die. That's what I feel like, climb or die. And I want us, all of us, to be those people that say, yes, Lord, and start to develop the prayer lungs, and that we can go with Christ at a moment's notice. And you know, I remember a long time ago, somebody got mad at me. I talked about feeling my prayers. And somebody got mad at me. But you know what that did? It made me stronger. Because I said, I am going to feel my prayers. Because it's when I'm feeling my prayers, that's when the real prayer comes out. When I'm just tossing out words that don't have any meaning, and I'm muddling everything up, and I come in like a straight arrow. And then I could pray. But I'll tell you something. I'm never going to pray. And you are never going to pray unless you feel moved by something. When I see injustice, where I see pain, where I see evil, where I see things that are so egregious that it makes me want to slam my fist down on the bar of God. You know, Jesus gave us this. We're given this privilege to pray, and the devil can do nothing about it. And I know this. I have lived long enough to see the hand of God moving in this world, changing people's lives, doing absolute miracles, even in my own life. And I'm going to start thinking more about him now than I ever did, or more of him, not about him. I'm always thinking about him. But you know what? I think so many times, because we're so removed from maybe something so far away, that, you know what, let me just pause here for a minute. We're so far away from things, or maybe we just get hyped up in our flesh because there's this religious fervor and this big buildup of prophetic things that really kind of, in a way, are just to make more videos or to have better church services. I'm talking about, and this may not even be for all of you, but we're so close to the end now. Don't be dull. be somebody who's marked. Let God see that mark on you that do sigh and do cry for the abominations of this world. I love David Wilkerson. He talked about being in agony. And maybe that's too much for you. But I'll tell you something. It's when I'm in the absolute agony is when it's like that beaten incense and the thicker incense is coming out of me. Because I'm telling you right now, when I'm in pain or when I'm heavily moved, I can promise you right now that I'm getting right to the point with Christ. Sorry, I have a little bit of allergies today. That I'm getting right to the point with Christ. Yes, Israel is being defended by Michael the archangel. Yes, God has made promise to deliver that land. And we know the end and we know it's going to happen. But I pray this, that God make you that vessel that he can fill full of power, that he can entrust with things of his own heart, and that he would take your life as that vessel that is pleasing to him, that he'll purify your vessel. You know, I think there's sometimes things in us that maybe we doubt God. We think, well, I can say this, but not that. I think that when we start thinking too much about what we're saying, how it sounds to God, the prayer is over. We basically unpray our prayer. We unseat ourselves from our prayer. You know what I love? I love how even Hannah, like I love all those stories. And some people say, well, I know the story. We'll never be tired of hearing it because see, she was desperate. She was desperate. I love something Derek Prince said. He said when he was doing deliverances all the time, he got to the point where he got tired of doing constant deliverances. And one time a young man came to him, he said, and he asked for deliverance. He said, what can I do for you? And he said, well, I want to be delivered. And he said, okay. And I guess the guy spoke to him about a few things. Derek Prince said, no. And the young man was shocked. He said, why not? He said, because you're not desperate enough. You come back when you're desperate enough. When you think of all the people in the Bible that got healed, I'm not saying that everybody's, God has this, I don't want to get into the whole healing thing. I'm going to stop right there. Okay. Anybody that had, God did something for them, whether they were, whatever was going on in their life. And we have these accounts and we have these demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus upon him, that he was moved by people that were suffering. You know, when it all comes down to it, you want to be that vessel that God can use. A good, honest vessel that he can count on, that he can entrust you with. But he wants to know that you're serious. You see, the Holy Ghost waits to see who's serious. And you have to be still and you have to be quiet and you have to show up. And you have to exercise yourself. That's what every day is for. Is all those little things that we get frustrated with, that's part of it. That's part of your exercise until we get it right. And let's remember to pray for Israel. Let's remember to pray for all the people that are going to be caught up. And remember to pray for everybody that's around you in your family and all the things that you're seeing. And let the Holy Spirit move you in it. Don't nail yourself down to from now on. Get quiet before him. He will tell you and he will move in you. That prayer will move in you. And ultimately, it's wonderful to know that we see the end from the beginning. Amen. Have faith in God. Trust him. Trust what he's doing right now. Even though everything looks ridiculous and scary and horrible and impending doom, and it all is, and there is doom. But amen, we are the children that are marked, and Satan sees it. And you know what? The world sees you. They may not know these terminologies and these words of being marked, but you are marked. You're marked in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And let me pray for you. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that everybody that is watching and listening today, that whose hearts are toward the Lord, that Lord, that your light would shine brightly upon them. Though there's darkness that may be around some people, let the light spring in like that jailer who brought in the light. I pray that you lift up all these people, Lord God, and that you teach them how to pray. And that wind of the Spirit that caught Ezekiel and carried him away to see your great and high mountain, that same wind, that Spirit wind, the Holy Spirit, will move in them. And I pray, Lord, let all your people be gathered unto you that do sigh and mourn and cry for the abominations, the idolatry, and for all the things that surround their life. And I just ask you to mark them, Lord, and to lift them up and to strengthen them to be the people, Lord, that become mighty, that become instruments of righteousness in your right hand. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen. I pray the Lord blesses you today and always, and that you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills very soon shall break forth with singing, and all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. The Lord Jehovah shall be praised.